This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
And this is the incomparable Gary V. He's going to come up, put your hands together. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you kill an introduction. Come on, baby.
It's good to be here. Hope everyone's good. Just want to chop a little bit on NFTs and music, since I feel like it's appropriate. Might as well take advantage of the moment. I think a lot of what's gone through a lot of people's minds in here about the music industry is about to really happen. It took a lot of pieces of the puzzle to get to this point. And the point is the following: of pretty much starting as of this moment, we're in the beginning of the process of the economics of the music industry shifting pretty aggressively. And the people that are gonna be the big winners are the human beings that come up with the music and the human beings that support that music. And the people that are gonna be the losers of this next century were the biggest winners of the last century, which was everybody in between that. So what I mean by that is, now that we have the blockchain, the consumer blockchain, NFTs, something strange is happening that most people don't understand. The reason everyone's so fucked up and like either way too excited or completely confused by NFTs is because everybody's bringing their internet brain to the party. Everyone's looking at NFTs through the lens of what they know about the internet for the last 25 years. The problem is, it's not the internet. The internet is all the shit we know and made all our lives better and more interesting and all the shit we fuck with. But the blockchain is a completely different infrastructure. It's servers that are decentralized that nobody owns. And what that means is it creates what it is, which is a ledger that can document things, which means you can actually own digital assets for real, not like right click and save and all the jokes people make about NFTs. When people make jokes about, I'm just gonna right click and save this, it's funny because the reality is you can fake shit in real life and on social media much more than you can fake shit on the blockchain. Everybody here can borrow somebody's watch or jewelry, take a photo and try to flex like they own it. On the blockchain, the person that owns it, and anybody in the world can see it. What does that mean for everybody in here? It means the following. Between Spotify and SoundCloud, and especially TikTok, people can now be discovered, people can blow up. The A&R business for record labels has changed forever. You used to go out and have to go out to stuff like this, go to places. You had to actually physically go and find people. Now people just lay in bed and just see who's trending on TikTok. People get famous now before they get signed, as everybody in here knows, at scale. It's not an occasional thing now, it's the normal thing. What does that mean? It means that people start amassing fans at scale before they sign a deal. It means that they can put that music on distribution and get their pennies on the dollar in the way it works. The only reason, which is unfair, the main reason that people sign deals is because the upfront bag changes their life. The reason people sign deals is because that $1 million or that $2 million really fucking means something when you've never seen money like that. And people get locked into deals where they make a record deal, you know this, and you gotta A, pay back that $2 million, B, all the money that they spent on promoting you, you gotta pay that back. And after all that 2.8, or if you got 500,000 and 30,000, after that 530 comes in from your music, then you start getting 20 cents and they get 80 cents. Maybe if you got crazy leverage, you could be 50-50 on that. What's gonna happen next is the most important part that everybody here has to listen to. What the future of music's gonna be is you're gonna explode on TikTok or whatever the fuck is TikTok of the day. And what's gonna happen is you're gonna drop your first album and you're gonna sell 1,000, 5,000, or 10,000 NFTs that represent your upfront bag. So instead of taking $1 million, or 500,000, or 2 million, or 10 million from a record label, you're gonna take that same amount of money from your fans. But your fans are only gonna get 20%. Maybe, if that's how you wanna roll, 50% of the back end, but you're gonna control it. And you're gonna get that upfront money from your fans. And when you pop off, your fans are gonna make money. Just imagine that. Just really think about that. Exactly. It's important. It's really important because here's what's gonna happen. It's gonna change the entire relationship with music and fans forever. Mike Boyd, who here knows Mike Boyd? Give him a little love. If this blockchain existed 20 years ago, I'd be working for Mike Boyd. Mike Boyd would have bought NFTs of Mac Miller and Wiz Khalifa and Nicki Minaj and Nipsey and everybody else he showed me when they had fucking 5,000 fans, 3,000 fans, 200 fans on Twitter. You can watch the videos of Gunna in our office in 2018. It was all right there. And Mike Boyd would have taken his pennies that he had, scraped them together, and bought NFTs and got a little piece of this and a little piece of that and would have kept winning and would have made a huge bet on somebody, owned 5 or 10% of their back end, and would be collecting royalties every single day. The fact that artists are going to make their fans rich when they hit is fucking crazy. It also changes the psychology of the entire relationship different. Now you've got fans who are financially incentivized for you to win. The fans become the promoters because they get a back end. This is a big fucking deal forever. Every record label in the world now lost its final piece. It used to be distribution. You had to sign a deal because you weren't gonna be on fucking BET, MTV, or any radio Z100. You weren't even gonna be heard. Then the fucking internet came along. It took care of that part. Then you signed deals because they put you on fucking TRL with fucking Carson and all those kids saw you and you'd be like, oh, she's cool. Well, TikTok took care of that. You're one song away from having more people watch your videos than all of TRL's big ass audience in 1999. The last piece was the hardest, the economics, how the money moves, how you as an artist could actually get a big enough dollar amount that made you not sign. So many people in this room heard from so many people on the come up how they were never gonna sign and stay independent until somebody put fucking 7 zeros in front of them. The fact that nobody has to succumb to that now, and now their partnership is not with some executive. Every fucking day on social media, people are fucking posting about don't sign with Atlantic. There's a reason. And by the way, on the record, record labels aren't bad. They're really not. They're in business. For everybody that they fucking make money on, they put out $1 million to 97 people that fucking sucked. So they're just doing their thing. I have no, by the way, just like on wax, no issues with record labels. I just think people have better options now. People are gonna make more money dropping an NFT of their mixtape, sharing their royalties with their fans, which is gonna feel better. Imagine who the fuck do you think you want making money on you? The fucking first 10,000 people that fucked with you when nobody gave a fuck about you. So I really, really, really hope everybody in this room is really paying attention. Because in 94 and 5 and 6, when I was spitting internet shit, everybody shook their head and nobody did shit about it. When I was fucking talking Twitter and YouTube and fucking Facebook in 2005 and 6, in places like this, everyone shook their head. Yeah, nobody did shit about it. This is a real fucking forever changing moment in music. Forever. All publishing. Movies. You want to make a movie? Fund it through an NFT. You want to write a book? Fund it through an NFT. But the first thing you have to do is build an audience. Content is always going to be king. You got to build real relationships. I've DM'd with a bunch of you in the past. I watch a lot of you move. I watch everybody move. That's what I do for a living. There's a lot of people who want 1 million followers, but they don't take care of their first 1,000 followers, which is why they'll never get there. You want to really get to this Nirvana place I just told you about? Start loving every fucking person that fucks with you. Reply to their DMs. Reply back in their comments. Show love. That's how you get it back. Thank you. Anybody got questions?
Yeah, I do.
My man.
You disrupted the advertising industry. How do you think will NFTs disrupt advertising in that space in the next couple of years?
It's been huge for us. We launched Vayner NFT Budweiser, Pepsi have two of the most successful NFT projects. It's made and we did that, and it's made every brand rethink marketing, because marketing is a crazy game. Every day I'm in the game with people that are supposed to be the CMOs of the biggest brands in the world, and there's nothing marketing going on in there. It's all boardroom bullshit, politics, everybody doing old shit. Who the fuck watches a television commercial besides the one that airs this Sunday? Nobody. Who even watches regular television? It's all streaming, it's all social. So it's gonna disrupt it in a weird way. Because they're all gonna get into NFTs and they're gonna feel what actual consumer work does. And by the way, there's been a bunch of brands that have launched NFTs that nobody even here knows about because nobody bought one. And so they're learning, like, wait a minute, if that didn't work, is our commercials? And so it's like the NFT success and non-success is putting pressure on the way they're thinking about marketing. So I think that's gonna be the biggest impact, because it's gonna be about merit, because you can't hide in NFT land. You know, all these numbers where people debate whose album sold more and this and that, Nielsen's, all that, that's all fake data. You can't hide in NFT land. Your NFTs sold or they didn't. It's all public domain on the blockchain. Nobody owns the information. It's all right there. This fakers are about to get to smoke the fuck out. Thank God. Because a lot of you fucking fake shit.
What industry do you feel NFTs will disrupt? Because I feel like those are the ones we need to start attacking now. But also, what do you feel you did differently with VFriends than other people did with their NFTs? Because shit, a lot of shit's just sitting.
Thank you. I think B2B will take a while. It's going to be a while before we really figure out. There's a lot of supply chain. There's a lot of interesting shit that blockchain can do. But I think B2B will be slower. It'll take some time before. So that's something to think about. Man, I think this is why I keep comparing it to the internet. This is an all-encompassing technology. There's every receipt of everything you buy should be an NFT. It's in the company's vested interest and it's your vested interest. Now you're just crumpling a piece of paper when you walk out. But if that shit's got a chance of being worth something because they used an emerging artist to make your receipt, you're gonna hold on to it. And by the way, you don't have to do anything about it. It goes right into your wallet, right? So like, it's gonna be a very big deal. As far as VFriends, I think what I did differently was the things I did the 15 years leading up to the launch.
The same thing you did when they told you you're gonna fuck your father's company up?
Yeah, I mean, that part was different. You know, what he's referring to is when I told everybody that I was gonna take my dad's store online in 95, 6, 7, everybody laughed, and a lot of people, because my dad came to America with nothing, he built up and he had a lot of friends in the business, and they were like scared that I was really gonna ruin my dad's life. That's different. That's just chip on shoulder shit that I love so much. No, I think what I did different was, the biggest problem with NFT projects right now is everyone's like, I gotta build a community on Discord so I can sell 10,000 NFTs in a week. And like, I get DMs like, yo, Gary Vee, I gotta build a Discord community because my launch is in 2 weeks. What do I do? I'm like, shut it down.
Glorify
appearance. Yeah, it's audacity. The biggest issue, actually, one of the biggest things that I think about with music a lot, because I've met a lot of artists, when you're an artist or an entrepreneur, one of the biggest challenges is to balance selfish and selfless. The biggest issue right now in NFT land is nobody that hits me up, and a million people hit me up on this shit, when I tell you 1% are actually giving a fuck about the other side, yeah. Everyone's just worried about how much money they're gonna make, how fast, how easy. Everyone's in gold rush, which is why, by the way, the other reason I say that 98% is going to zero is because it is. Because everyone's out here on some fucking Beanie Baby shit, right? Quick flip, let me get mine. Not giving a fuck about somebody spending. I had this one kid, I was like, bro, you're about to try to sell a picture of a fucking turtle with a burrito at his ass for $8,000 a piece, and you don't give a fuck what's gonna happen to the person that spends $8,000 on it in a week. And that's where we're at right now, and it's unfortunate. And what's gonna happen, like, to me, I'm pretty excited about it, because what's gonna happen is shit's gonna hit the fan. Everyone's gonna be like, see, it was a scam, it was a fad. Everyone's gonna walk away and go on to the next thing. And that's when I'm gonna swoop up and really fucking do some damage. I might buy the Knicks and the Jets. That's how big I think the opportunity will be when everybody walks away in a year or two. Whenever this shit hits the fan, everyone's gonna bounce because people's feelings and money's gonna be hurt. If you put 35K into 17 different NFTs thinking you're about to buy a fucking mansion in the hills and all that shit goes to zero, you're not gonna have appetite to come back in so quick. Especially when you only had 41,000 to start with, or worse, 16 and you're in debt. People out here are being crazy. And then they're gonna blame NFTs without blaming themselves. The fuck are you buying $40,000 worth of NFTs when you got $11,000 to your name? But that's people.
So you wanna be like the Buffett for NFTs, like the most safety for all the bullshit.
That's my whole life. That's what I've been. Like, I never overextend myself. My shit is so calculated. My energy throws people off and they think I'm crazy or wild or up to some shit, but I'm fucking...
That's strategic to
them. Yeah, you know, like that whole saying of like, measure twice, cut once. I measure 1,000 times before I cut because my problem is when I cut, I get loud. I only know one way. If I'm gonna eat, I want everybody that gives me a minute of their time to eat along with me if they understand what I'm saying. So, when I decided that this was the thing, I just started making content the next day. And I'm not worried about convincing anybody. All my friends are like, how are we gonna convince everybody? I'm like, we're not. Don't convince, have conviction. I'm not trying to convince anybody about this shit. You don't believe me? Mazel tov, go do you. I'll see you in 3 years, we'll talk. So that's where I'm at. I'm not trying to convince anybody about nothing.
I have a question.
Please.
How are the fans gonna make the royalties? I know it's just when they resell the NFT, or how they're gonna have consistent
work? Two ways. For the artist, this is why it's crazy. For the artist, think about this. You sell 10,000 of your pieces of your initial album drop. The art is the fucking album art, right? Different versions, you sell it. Mike's like, yo, this person's gonna be big. I buy 100 of them. The person starts being good, big, and the NFTs start making money. I might sell off some of the original pieces. The original artist is gonna get a 5 or 10% commission just on that. So I might buy it for $400, sell it for 5,000, and you, the artist, are gonna get another $500 on 10% on that 5,000. But the money, that's one part. That's transactional royalties. What's gonna happen over time, and we're not there yet, but there's a lot of companies working on it, is this album, just like with producers or record label, there'll be a split. And the split's gonna be with the fan. Got it? So if The Weeknd dropped his first album on a blockchain NFT, because the world was further along or further behind, however you want to look at it, and if you bought one NFT, it might represent 0.3%, 0.01%, whatever the math is, of the royalties. And every fucking month when Spotify's sending out money, 70% goes to The Weeknd and 30% goes to 10,000 people.
So that's not up yet.
That's what Royal and a bunch of other companies are working on right now. We're 12, 18, 24 months away from this being real as shit and people sitting around being like, fuck. And that's why record labels are gonna have to evolve into a different animal. Because of course they are.
Yeah.
Once everyone gets, you know, just like a lot of things where people wait longer. I mean, again, there's a lot of OGs in here. 20 years ago, people signed deals fast. Now they sign deals a little slower, right? People are a little bit more thoughtful, trying to build more leverage. Once everybody in this room and this space understands what I just talked about, it doesn't matter what the language is gonna say, you're never gonna sign a deal in the first place. When you just know, like, yo, let's just sell it to our fans, when you have 7 million followers on TikTok, you're gonna find 10,000 people that are gonna give you $800 for a piece of your back end. $800 times 10,000 adds up.
So if you're saying those contracts won't matter, and essentially all that's gonna matter is our smart contracts, what happens when the blow up happens? What happens to smart contracts then? Will that cancel the validity?
No, the blow up right now is because everything's about collectability. What we're talking about here is utility. Right. The real reason the blockchain's gonna matter. Right, so, no, I mean, to your point, if the timing works where NFTs crash just as the technology's there, there may be like a 6 or 12 month window where it drags out longer than it would have had if it was hot as fuck like right now. But this is fucking inevitable. This is a wrap. There's no logical reason for this not to be the biggest. This is what every artist will aspire to. People, instead of aiming for a deal, will settle for a deal if they weren't able to sell or big enough fan bases.
You mentioned 10,000 a couple of times. Did you see that as maybe?
No, that's just you know, that's why CryptoPunks was such a big deal. They established the 10,000. That's the lingo now. It could be, you could do three. You want to sell three NFTs that represent, you want to sell four NFTs that represent 25% each of 30% that you want to sell to your fans, and you want 25, you want 500K, this is all going to be market dynamics. 10,000 is just the number that most NFT projects of last year were built around, but you're seeing a lot of evolution in that. B?
My question was more so like your thoughts on music. You got all these musicians in here, you got all these artists, all these creators, and you know, we double down on collaboration, and in order to change the ecosystem of the powers that be, it has to be in the form of collaboration. Can you expand more on like the NFTs and the blockchain and the fair splits to artists, musicians, things like
that? I'm so excited about that. Just like what we just talked about, which is like label and artist, the fact that all the shit that all these artists go through, the producer, the writer, the fucking, like, it's so complicated, it gets so political, the fact that it's just so easy to sit there, like, it will be as easy in 10 years, everybody, like every 14-year-old right now, by the time they're 24, like sitting down in studio and just cutting the deal, be like 7%, 9, 10, boom, like it's going to be remarkable and never have to think about it again. No fucking auditing, and did I really get fucked, and the label was really fucking with them and they fucked me. Nah, it's just gonna be right there. So I think what's amazing about that is when there is that level of true transparency, it actually allows for collaboration to be easier, because a lot of humans by nature are cynical, fear-based, they don't feel like they're educated. So for a lot of people here when they came up, like, there's almost nobody who's not scared to make a bad deal, right? It's just fear. So I think I'm really excited about that transparency and that simplicity, because then you get into such basic math. You just have to be able to count to 100 and you'll be able to figure it out.
And you're talking about, you know, like closing the gap, right? So there's a huge gap, and a lot of, you know, people of color, women, you know, there's a huge gap, and in order, you know what I mean?
It's the best part of the blockchain.
Exactly.
The blockchain is finally decentralized. Blockchain doesn't know who the fuck you are, where you came from, what you do, who you are. Like, it's a big, big, big deal. It's a humongous deal. It's a big deal. But with all that, the blockchain's about to do something else. It's about to eliminate excuses. Because the number one thing people are about to wake up to is when you can't point fingers on the algorithm, you know, Spotify fucked me. On the label, they're racist. When you eliminate every fucking excuse, people are about to find out how good they really are. You know this as an athlete. My favorite thing about athletes is they love to blame the coach.
It is the coach's fault.
As an artist that do album covers, is it wise enough to say in your contract, I want to own the NFT of this album cover?
It's gonna be better than that. When you catch the right kid on the come up, and if you're a fire designer and you get 1% of the fucking deal, yeah. Do you know what 1% of Thriller is? But that's beautiful, because like there may be a lot of people that buy an NFT of an emerging artist that they never heard of, but they bought it because of the fire art. Like, you're gonna get yours now. And it'll be different things at first. Like, there's so many variables to this. Like, you may get 2%, right? But then the market may be flooded with a ton of fire artists, and then all of a sudden you can't get 2%. But to your point, you might take 10 NFTs, and if that thing is V Friends and there are 40,000 people. So there's just like so much new dynamics that are gonna be negotiated out. But I'm excited, because I think there's some artists that are gonna, with one album drop, forever change their life. My man.
So, from like more of like a literal standpoint, right? Let's just say hypothetically, me and you do a song. Tonight,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. I make the track.
Yep.
You give me some lyrics.
Yep. I need auto tune. I need some fucking auto tune. Go ahead.
I give you a little tune.
Go ahead.
Or even if you just get the lyrics and I perform uh-huh. it because we uh-huh. know about your vocals yet, right?
That's right. I know about my vocals. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I say, all right, well, let's split this 50-50 and drop this as an NFT. In today's vibe right now, our straight-to-consumer platform is something like a DistroKid.
That's right.
Where we'll just go and we can just split it 50-50.
That's exactly right.
As it streams.
That's right.
Go straight to you.
That's right.
In NFT space, is there
NFT,
a site that exists?
Yeah, the NFT will be minted and connected to distro. And so the royalty of the music will go through that way. They'll be connected. And the royalty of the NFT, because I might think it's like, again, back to Mike Boyd's career, how it's gonna change, is now we're gonna be looking for shit. And he's like, yo, I mean, we just went through with this. I mean, this is like, I'm looking right in front of you. I'm looking at the dude that this just happened with me and him. We're like, we found him. We're like, this kid. Right? And so in that scenario, if you two had been working together, instead of just DMing him and being like, yo, we fuck with you, maybe we can do something in the future, I'm gonna go and buy 15 NFTs to have a piece of his work. And in that scenario, somebody sold that to me. So there's royalties on the NFTs. If you guys were just minting it from the beginning, you guys would get that money. But if my brother AJ bought them and he relisted it for double and I bought them, then he's gonna get the profit, but you're gonna get 10% of the NFT profit, and then you guys would split that. Maybe it's 49, 49, and 2% for the designer. That will happen in a different place. That will happen in your wallets, in crypto land. The music will still happen through DistroKid.
And that happens automatically, right?
Automatically. That's why it's so big.
Where is the base on prices for music, like if it's single or a video, that we should be thinking about? I know we can put it any price we want, like we...
It completely matters on the demand from your consumer. There's gonna be people that are gonna drop an album for fucking trying to raise $10,000, 10,000 at a dollar a piece, that are gonna sell $4. Because nobody fucks with them. So that's completely, completely no different than the historic nature of albums being done through record labels. Record labels have put out and given out all sorts of different checks, depended on how much heat you had. This is why it keeps going back to the thing I said very subtly, and I'll say it again. The quicker people actually build an audience that actually fucks with them, the better. And the problem is people are just not doing the right behavior. Like artists out here thinking they're bringing value to their fans by taking a photo of them wearing some new fresh fucking Kith hoodie. The fuck are you bringing value to? What the fuck does that bring value to your audience?
The big money decides, all right, we see what y'all doing. When you release something, we don't come in and buy all this shit up because we got.
You don't give a shit.
Price.
You don't give. Why would you give a fuck?
I make the price higher.
It's not.
But then that takes away from the fans getting rich with you.
Fans need to move quicker.
Then big money, then billions of dollars.
Big, you know, what's amazing is, listen, you want to create a friends list, a white list, a list beforehand for just your fans? Like, you'll learn all the NFT games, the things that me, Phil, we're all going through. Like, even in a year, the shit got crazy because there's a lot of money involved. The whales come in and they just want to write a fucking code script and buy 5,000 of them.
Right.
But, yeah. But let me say this. The greatest hope I hope for everybody in this room is that you have enough heat on your first album that you ever put out that people want to buy it like that. I think more realistically, the majority of emerging artists are gonna have to hustle and grind to sell out their first thing. It's not gonna sell out in a minute, right? But that's what's amazing about TikTok. See, you've got like 7 things going on at once, right? Like. It might just, I mean, you got 2 guys here who went through real fucking viral moments. One song, one moment, one deal, one video.
For visual NFTs, I know that a lot of people are talking about future-proofing them for the metaverse, so that they're available As mostly musicians in the room, do they need to be worried about the metaverse in that manner, or how do they?
My take on the metaverse is a little bit further away than people realize. Like, everyone's hot on it, but like, nobody's really living in VR yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at AR. It's like almost a, it's like, when did Pokemon Go come out?
26 years?
You know,
5 years?
More? Yeah, like, you know, if you, I talk about something, thank God I didn't make a video about, I would have been so crazy wrong. If you told me that we're here 6 or whatever years later and there hasn't been a single viral AR app execution since, I thought Marvel and like fucking Hello Kitty and wrestling, like I'm blown away. New technologies, like real new technologies, take a while. Let me remind everybody, NFTs hit hard in 2017. Nobody here was buying CryptoKitties in 2017. Like, it takes time for new technology. So it's something people should be aware of. Everybody here should be doing homework, right? We're in class right now, it's homework. You know, it's real homework. But I wouldn't get crazy yet because we're a little further away. I think people are gonna lose a lot of money on buying land. I really do. Because it's too early. We don't even know which one's gonna win. And it's gonna be a hardware game. Oculus is gonna, like, Meta's like got a big chance to win that. My man, you've been patient.
Thank you. To follow up on Cosine's question,
yep.
The practical process of creating a song, minting it into an NFT, and distributing it through something that already exists, like DistroKid, are you saying that the NFT that is the music or the album will be somewhat of like a, take place of like an MP3 or a WAV file?
No, I'm saying it represents, it could, and people will create, but the concept is, it is a contract. That's why you keep hearing the term smart contract. The NFT is the contract.
Okay.
It says, Gary, you get 0.3% of all the royalties. And if I buy 30 of those, now I got 1 point, right? Yeah. Got it?
Yes, sir.
So that. And by the way, the platform that I'm referring to doesn't fully exist yet. There's people working on it. Phil, we're looking at every startup in it because he knows I like them. Like, it'll be self-explanatory when it comes.
Got it.
You'll just go right in like WordPress and like mint.
In the examples of people who've done it already, like you mentioned, your colleagues that are here who have had success with NFT music, like what was their process in doing this?
I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to like actual music hits, okay. Not NFT music. My man.
So I'm in the Web3 space. I'm already selling music NFTs, but right now it's very much so like the Wild West.
Yes.
There's no centralized platform. No truly centralized platform for music NFTs. When there's mass adoption and everybody in this room is releasing music NFTs, do you see traditional DSPs catching up to that place, or do you think they're just going to be brand new, NFT platforms?
I think the DSPs that are in place are going to, don't forget, they're consumer facing, they're going to still win. But to your point, it'd be hard not to think somebody's going to pop out and matter, you know? There's just too many people that are vying for that spot. Spotify's got all its own, you know, it's gonna go through its thing right now. Like, there's gonna be a lot of movement. Plus, shit pops up all the time. But I think we're thinking more and more about owning versus services. It's just such a big moment, you know?
G, what do you think is the, so for an artist, right? Let's say a new artist coming into the game, what does that new team look like?
Yeah.
I need a producer,
mm-hmm.
I need a videographer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm lit. What does that look like now?
I think the designer becomes a much bigger player in the game because it's gonna be visual collector. So I think the designer becomes a new one, and now I think the actual promoter. Because the man, whether it's managers, whether it's record labels, like, you're gonna need the person that can actually get people to buy shit.
Right. Salesperson.
Mm-hmm. I think
salesperson, designer.
Mm-hmm.
For a new artist, they don't have all the budget. So it's like,
the good thing is, for a new artist, this is gonna be huge. Listen to this part, big. For a new artist that doesn't have budget, now saying to their boy, who they've seen, like their friend who was the best at selling fucking candy in school, and you're like, that kid can sell shit.
Right.
You can go to that kid now and be like, yo, I can't pay you, but you can have 3% of this project.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's not something they could promise before.
Right. That matters, should I say, yeah.
I mean, I just think about myself and who I became. That was the only shit I would have done in high school. I would have just, that would have been my life. I wouldn't have sold baseball cards. I would have promoted music and try to hit one. Mm-hmm. Because the royalties are in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Like, think about that. Imagine catching Nirvana in 1991 in high school and getting 3% of every Teen Spirit play forever. I don't think people understand, right? Like I remember, like, when The Weeknd buys his big home, you're like, you forget royalties is the real business. It's why music people make money. It's why Seinfeld is so rich. He got into the deal on what do they call it in TV? Syndication. You know, like, this is real economics. Record, I want to remind you, and you guys all know this, record labels almost always miss. Almost everybody they sign fails. So think about how big those companies are. So think about how much money you make when somebody does hit. Yeah.
So the label gives you a budget, say it's $750, you know, to release your mm-hmm. album. Mm-hmm. Chances are you ain't really need them to record the album, but you need them for marketing, video budgets, etc. Apologize if this is redundant.
No, it's not redundant.
Can you walk me through how an artist can go about raising that capital
artist,
from the fans?
Artist says, you're gonna get royalties to my project. Yep. I'm gonna.
That you haven't heard yet.
Depends how you want to play it, right?
Like, maybe you heard a single. You heard.
Well, listen. If you're gonna be somebody that has fans to talk to, you did something, mm-hmm. right? Like something happened, yes. right? Unless you're very attractive. Seriously, unless you're going that route, like, and you're making a transition to music, you're probably got fans because you put out some music on TikTok or what have you, or SoundCloud, right? So they already got a feel. Right. But what's crazy is, like, fans fuck with all of you because music's fucking universal and it's one of the most important things in our society's history. But now you're gonna have entrepreneurs. Like, I'm gonna pay attention to Mike's texts way more now because there's money involved. And the reason, but I'm being serious, right? As a lot of you know, especially ones that have known us for a while, our music journey is about pure and utter karma and love. We've been out here for a decade. People probably been waiting for our other shoe to drop. We just give, give, give. That's just how we've lived. But now when Mike's like, yo, check this out, we have such a good combo because he's listened to a lot of stuff. And like, we have this crazy track record because when we both fully agree, like, if we're both at an 11, a lot of those people have gone on to do work. And just something in our combo of, like, what we both kind of hear. When we come from different places, sometimes we don't like the same stuff. But when we both like it, there's been a really good track record. Well, now, I'm gonna look at that and be like, yo, I'm gonna buy that project. I'm gonna mint 50 units. And so that 750 comes from your fans. You run the budget.
So you sell them NFTs.
And they get... Of an image,
0.1%,
right? You could do any, again, remember, you could do anything. You could do 100 album covers, design 100 different ways, so there's some collectibility.
Basically give away 20% or 30%, mm-hmm. broken down into whatever.
You got it. And then that gets you 750.
Then that gets us the bread, then we got the album.
That's it. Mm. And so what's crazy, my man, the fans become the label. The fans become the label. It's super lit. Because it's gonna feel double good for the fucking artist. A, your economics are gonna be better. Don't forget, from, you know, when you make the fans the label, you're gonna be sharing with them from penny number one. So now you come out, you have a hit, and money's coming in, you're getting 70 cents, they're getting 30 cents. With the album deal, the first 750 goes to them. Then you get your 20 cents on the dollar. You're getting 70 cents on the dollar from day one. It's a very big deal.
How far away do you think we are from that first dorky fan becoming like a multimillionaire?
Within five.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And when that dorky fan becomes a million, wait till you see that TikTok viral video. Wait till you see that kid saying, I made 100K this week because I believed in blank, 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 and they went off. It's super beautiful. Think about all those kids that want to be influencers or artists. When they hear that, they're gonna be like, fuck that, I'm gonna be a music investor. Like, imagine telling your mom to shut up because you're listening to music and you're working. It's a really, listen, I really want everybody to hear this. There's a lot of youngsters here, but there's just enough people in here of the age that are gonna know what I'm about to say. Nobody understood how big the internet was in 95. People thought it was the information superhighway. It was like a better encyclopedia, right? That's all it was, a better encyclopedia. I remember telling my friends in school in 97, 98 that everybody was gonna online date, and they laughed. They're like, nah, that's for 500 pound fat dudes in their mom's basement. And now everyone's just swiping left and fucking right, sliding into DMs. The shit fucking changes, the world changes. I'm telling you, everybody's underestimating the blockchain, everybody. It's that big, because everybody keeps thinking it's the internet. It's not the internet, the end. It's as if the internet didn't exist and here came a new shit. But the difference is the blockchain's in place with a mature internet.
Yeah, right,
right. Right, because if the blockchain came out, my dude, right? If that came out first, and cool, but how the fuck are you gonna get anybody to know who you are? There's no internet. Right. There's no TikTok, there's no Spotify. So you gotta sign with the label because they're gonna print your fucking CDs and they're gonna put you on TRL. So it needed everything, they needed everything. Distribution, marketing, and a ledger that could run the economics. Now you got all the pieces. Now it's gonna get interesting.
Question.
Yeah.
Does the artist make money off of the fans reselling NFTs?
Yes. Just came in. But think, I want to break it down again. So now you're doing the royalty thing. Now, Mike, for example, Mike sold a V-Friend. Huge mistake. But he needed the money. Mike hit me up. He's like, I'm going to sell this. He's like, I need the paper right now. I'm like, it hurts, but I respect it. And you got to do what's good for you. So he sold it. Made plenty of money. Right? When Mike sold it, I made 10%. but this is important. With music, think about how it's going to work out. This is why the artist is going to win twice. So now you put out the NFTs for the percentages of the back end. You pop off. Now, I'm more about EQ, branding, I'm more energy, but there's some people that are math. And people are just gonna run math and be like, okay, this, they're just gonna look at hardcore math and be like, this artist hasn't even hit the apex yet. They've got historical data, running big quant, and they're like, I think this artist could be number one for another 13 weeks. They're gonna run back the math, figure out what Spotify's kicking you, and they're gonna go in and buy other people's NFT. They're gonna be like, fuck it, I'll buy his NFT for 50% more than it is right now, because I know I'll make it back in 15 weeks. Right, and so you bought an NFT for fucking 400 bucks to get a piece. Now you're selling it for 4,000. You made some money on royalties, and you sold the NFT for 4,000. But the artist gets $400 on that transaction, or $200, depends on what the math is on the royalty. So there's double royalty economics for the artist. The contract they make money on every time it transacts, and obviously the royalties of the music. So now artists can be playing in two places.
Sorry.
No worries.
If someone buys the NFT, so someone sells it, and then someone buys it, do they now own part of the song or the
yes.
album?
Yes, it's gonna transfer over.
Okay.
Hence
the original owner who bought it.
Yeah, the original owner is out.
Mm. Okay.
Just like Michael Jackson bought the masters to the Beatles and then sold it. Right? This is going to be the much, much smaller version, but it's exactly the same thing.
So this keeps being a project-based thing. Can an NFT own an LLC? Can I make my LLC or business an NFT?
The answer is going to be yes.
Gotcha.
But right now, there's not enough clarity from the SEC. We need a little bit more. And even the music thing's gotta go through its thing, but I think the music thing is further along accepted than.
I'm thinking more like the royalties and like how we're splitting. How are you saying, like, if you're an early bet on a project, if you're an early bet in my business.
My number one thing on earth that I'm waiting for is for the government to give us clarity on this, because if, God forbid, they make it easy and they say yes, then VFriends Series 1 is gonna be the greatest NFT of all time, because my mental big plan is every business that I ever open for the rest of my life, I'm gonna give a piece to the people that own VFriends Series 1.
That's what I'm...
That's exactly what you're thinking the right way. There's still some security laws, things that have to come through.
So you want them to regulate?
Yeah. I do want them to regulate. Yeah, I just want to know what the rules are. I'll beat everybody as long as everyone's playing the same rules. You know? And by the way, all the shit you hear is not real. Like, the tax law is clear. I'm paying plenty of taxes this year. Like there's the tax laws are very clear. There's things like that that are not clear, whether it's a security or not, a collectible, and that, like, so there's some things to think through.
So they'll try to put capital gains on it?
Well, there is capital gain. So V Friends, when I sell the V Friend, I have to pay ordinary income on it, like flat out. But I get Ethereum. If I hold that Ethereum for longer than a year, then I pay cap gains because they treat it as that. Got it? But then there's all sorts of shit, like you might want to wash it and capture some losses. I mean, there's just so many things that people have to think through.
What should we study first in a 30-hour journey? And what was your blueprint for when you dug in deep?
Fucking, what is an NFT? Enter. And read and read and read. Like, it was such basic. Everyone here is a little further along, but most of you aren't, and that's okay. You know what it is, but you don't really, like, some of you are listening right now, but you gotta, maybe for you, like for me, YouTube was strong because you give me visual and audio. I can't read for, I have no reading comprehension. So, like, I didn't read anything. It was all videos, audio. I'm very good at micro reading, so I did a ton of Discord and Twitter and just read shit. When I fell in love with CryptoPunks, after like 5 hours of that, then I spent 5 hours literally Googling and searching on Twitter, like, CryptoPunks scam, CryptoPunks bad, CryptoPunks not worth it. Like, I was trying to find, like, the biggest mistake that people make is they get high on something and then they don't spend a minute on the counterpoint. I do a lot of that. Because I'm scared to be wrong, because that's my whole thing is this. But what I'm doing my art right now, being right, right? And so, like, I have to do a lot of work before I'm willing to go out here and be, I mean, if this all ends up being wrong, I'm finished with all of you. This has been a pretty passionate rant on this thing. You know, but my track, it's what I love about my track record. When like, I'm on some new shit, whether it's TikTok or this, and of course you get so much, you know, counter hate. And I was like, yeah, a clock hits right twice. I always go in, I'm like, yo, show me the video where I said something wrong. Because I'll show you all the ones that are right. Show me the wrong ones. That, which is why I do so much homework before I'm gonna, my reputation is my currency.
Do you think it's important to mint on your own site before opening up on like a OpenSea?
You don't have to, but I do think that's getting easier and less expensive every day, and better tools are being built, and I think that's just the way people are going to do it. But Meta, old Facebook, has got a lot of smoke. Coinbase, a lot of smoke. My prediction is right now OpenSea is the player, and that looks like eBay. I think this year is going to be the year that we see things like, I don't know how much you guys know about Chinese social websites, but in China, because it's a communist country and the companies own the whole stack, what that means is almost all the social networks in China, people shop through that shit. Like here, Instagram Shop hasn't caught on, like Amazon, Facebook over here, Instagram over here, Amazon over there, but in China, everything's vertically integrated. I think the thing that everybody will see this year is things that look like Instagram with NFTs. I think Instagram's gonna have that feature, I think Coinbase is gonna have that feature, and so I think that people are gonna start minting almost the way they post on their social media through those platforms. So there's gonna be a lot of, I mean, I wanna remind everybody again, there's some OGs in here, they've been looking at each other, they know what I'm saying. A lot of you are youngsters, like, fuck man, 1990, until Mark Andreessen created Netscape Navigator, you had to actually know how to code to even get on the internet. Which meant on the record, I was never on the internet. I was like, I don't know that shit, 1010, fuck that. You know, like, so, I mean, again, for, like, I used to pay $3 a minute to be on AOL. My mom, like, I used to be on the internet, and my mom picked up the phone to call my aunt, and I was off the internet. Like, I think a lot of us forgot. Remember pre-iPhone? Like, if you left the house, you weren't on the internet no more. So, like, I think we forget, like, how it was. And that's what's going on with this. This blockchain shit right now, people getting their shit stolen, seed phrase. A lot of you are not in because you hear, and it's true. People getting their shit fucking, you think there's fucking shit going on in the streets? People are fucking getting gangstered every fucking hour for real money. out there on Web3, non-custodial, custodial. There's a ton of shit going on. So we're just so fucking early, but in 5 years, all this stuff is gonna be second nature, all happening on the back end. You're not gonna know what a fucking seed phrase is. It's all gonna evolve.
How do you keep your NFT safe then? People say it's like a ledger.
That's right, a hard wallet. And that's, and honestly, what a cold wallet, a ledger, a hard wallet, like, honestly, this is gonna be beautiful. I really feel like a lot of people here are gonna run with what tonight's energy was. Do what I did. What is a hard wallet? Enter. Yeah. Read 30 things, watch 30 things, you know what I mean? You'll learn. You'll learn.
Will cold wallets ever be digital only? Like with the with how far this is going, like, do we have a way to digitally protect our assets the same way our ledgers do?
I think the reason that will always, always be vulnerable is there's a way for people to take control of your computer. Mm-hmm. So I think what I think is actually gonna happen is everyone's gonna say, fuck it, I don't wanna fucking control this shit. I'll pay the company 3% to hold my shit.
And that'd be like the new AWS for.
I mean, that's cloud, so that's infrastructure, but it'll be more like the new banks. Like, everyone's gonna be like, fuck it, I'm too scared to lose my $1 million bag, I'll let Coinbase take 3% for, like, for taking the risk. And that's gonna be a lot of money for Coinbase or Chase Bank or whoever the fuck wins it.
How do you keep people from minting your old work as a new NFT?
Well, they don't have the actual, like, you mean the old images?
Like images, art, audio for people who do music. Like, if a engineer have like
it's
a first song
it's
from
it's
somebody,
it's really like, hard. I mean, there's people minting my face, my meme face yesterday. People are selling the shit out of that right now. On that, that's my name, image and likeness. People are just minting away. It's still Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. But remember, don't get caught up in that. Here's why. It's going to work itself out because at the end of the day, like, it not being you matters. Mm-hmm. Like, for all the bullshit Gary Vee shit that's being put up every hour, like, it's, I'm not co-signing it, it's not me. And it will have far less economics. And as a matter of fact, you know how I look at it? They're just promoting me. Exactly. Let them take those pennies, I'll keep the dollars. My man.
Speaking of dollars, what's the future of the dollar in your opinion as it relates to cryptocurrency?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Governments are not in the business of giving up control. So this whole nirvana that some people think of, they'll drop bombs on you before they give up. Russia and China have already done it. America will be more clever about it, but let there be no confusion. Governments are not in the business of giving up control.
They own most of the crypto.
I mean, it's crazy when you think about the dollar. They just print that shit in perpetuity. Blueberries are about to be $74 because of inflation. You know, like, you know, I'm not sure, but what I'll say is this. If you think a room of these people, all of us here, 20 years ago, looking like us, from our backgrounds, talked about shit like what the dollar's being printed, like, the world's getting educated. Mm-hmm. There was nobody talking about the dollar being off the gold standard in a room like this 20 fucking years ago. Right? So education's coming up. It's coming up, and that's gonna change the world. But don't sleep on the ultimate gangster. The government doesn't give a fuck. But there'll be evolution. A lot of fuckers are in Puerto Rico now that never thought they'd be there. Right. I have a lot of super liberal friends rushing to get to Texas and Florida. People will adjust. I just landed from Dubai. There's gonna be a lot of people living in Dubai. Because Dubai's a business. They're going on the offense. They're gonna write laws that are gonna make you, if somebody hits and they're not grounded by children, they're gonna get their ass to the desert. So things will evolve. Things will evolve. Yeah, I think I'm very fascinated about DAOs. I think I would argue that people are trying to rethink DAOs because I think DAOs in the first year of execution remind me a lot of like communism. Like Marxism reads really nice on paper. Like, I don't know how many people have read it. Yeah, like if you read the literature, you're like, damn, this is how the world should be. But then the human spirit kicks in. This whole concept of like, we're gonna be decentralized and all decide on everything. There's the best soap operas in the world right now are in Discord DAOs where everyone's just mad at each other. And like, it's hard to like get, it's hard to have two cooks in the kitchen. You wanna have 113? Enjoy it. It's not.
Voting system, kind of.
Yeah, but it's not. You know, like it's good on theory, but it's democracy would be that a DAO is all 300 million of us decide everything.
A majority vote.
Not a majority vote. But yeah, it could be a majority vote. But like, it's just what, that's not how our government really actually works, though, right? Like, no, because you kind of vote on somebody, but then they're kind of acting in. Yeah, but if the world, but what's amazing about DAOs is like it's all so transparent. If our government was as transparent, you know,
it'd be better.
Well, it'd be better, but we show no interest in it.
It had to be incentivized.
But humans, like half this country, doesn't even vote. You see what I mean? We don't show interest in it. Right now, everybody in DAOs is interested. Hence, even in a two-party system like ours, there's so much friction. Oh man, get home safe.
Good knowledge, man.
My pleasure. Good to see you, bro.
Gary, do you? So I'm in the. I short-term invest.
Okay. Day trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Futures.
Okay.
Do you think that NFTs will speculate on the value of them the same way we do futures now and the commodities that we trade in the futures market? Do you think that NFTs will make it to the space where we're speculating and trading the value of those?
I think that's the only thing that's happening now. Everyone's day trading. They're all speculating. The whole, I would argue that that's the entire space. I think that's why the space is going to collapse so much. All you have is day traders. Everyone's like, I'm in it for the community. I'm like, fuck you. You ain't in for the community. You're in it for the floor. You're in it for the community. You're in the fucking Discord 24/7 saying floor price, floor price, floor price. You ain't in fucking shit. You're in for a quick flip. Everyone's in it.
Well, see, in the futures market, it's backed by the commodities themselves.
I understand.
Will the NFT be backed by the when you, like in the future market now, I don't give a shit what the commodity does. I make money whether it goes up or goes down. So in that same fashion with NFTs, if it's losing value, well, it's not ever good to lose value. And that's the thing, like I'm wondering with NFTs, if you're short-term investing in it, like you said, if they sell, if you have 10,000 units, you sell all your 10,000 units, you never lose value because it's already sold.
Yeah, you the issuer made your bag.
Right, but you can still speculate on the value of it, possibly. Yes,
it becomes a secondary derivative, right? Now it becomes an asset that the market decides what to do with. When Marvel sold, you know, Amazing Stories 15 and fucking somebody paid 5 cents for the first appearance of Spider-Man, they got their money. What happened next was interesting. What's cool though for Marvel is when Spider-Man's first appearance sells for $2 million at an auction, they're gonna make $200,000 in the future. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan's rookie card, when I buy that shit for $400,000, Fleer doesn't make a dollar. Yeah, which is why all the economics are going to the creator. Which is huge. Creator, audience puts them on, and then it becomes a fuck. It's gonna be really good. Now, what's gonna happen is a lot of artists aren't gonna hit. And so like a lot of, like fans are gonna be mad. Like, yeah, it's like it becomes a new dynamic that nobody's thought through. Now when a fucking artist that somebody fucks with, they found him on the gram, they see him on TikTok, they were fucked with him on SoundCloud, they sign with a label, and the label and the record doesn't hit, they all blame the label. They're like, nah, it wasn't my guy, it was the fucking label. Now it's gonna be different. Now when that shit doesn't hit and isn't making money, the fans are gonna be on that person's TikTok like, yo, why don't you stop fucking pumping your album? I don't give a fuck that you got the new fucking Nikes. Get back in the fucking studio.
Right.
Like, right? You know, up until this point, everything's been like, yeah, this is a good ass shit. This part has repercussions. And let me give you a preview. These fuckers on the other side, they're savages. I made people fucking millions of dollars, and my floor goes from like 13 ETH to like 11 ETH, and they're like, yo, Gary, what the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck you? What do you mean, what the fuck? You fucking entitled bitch? Like, why not Bored Ape? Like, I mean, people are crazy. Fucking, people are fucking crazy out here. So you better be really ready for your fans to be fucking different. All of a sudden, they're not cheering for you. They feel like they're on the fucking board. They're like, what are you doing? So like, you know, pros and cons with, now instead of having one person you gotta report to the label, you're gonna have 5,000. So it's good, listen, there's pros and cons.
You think this creator economy is booming because the old American economic model is slowly dying?
No, I just think it's options. Yeah. Right, like in my corporate life, they're like, yo, get, yeah, cause I'm by far the most contemporary person in my game. They're like, yo, these fucking kids, they don't wanna work. I'm like, they want to work. They want to work for themselves. The fuck do you think they want to work for you making 45K while you treat them like shit? They'll make 45K on fucking AdSense. This is, you know, everyone's talking about the great resignation. And that's like a big talk in my corporate world. Like all these people that are just quitting. I'm like, wait till you see. I'm like, don't worry about the great resignation. Wait till you see the great never applied in the fucking first place. That shit's going to really fuck them up. Between NFTs, between TikTok, between fucking, kids are getting educated. The fuck are you going to get a fuck? It's crazy to fucking take a minimum wage job in America. The biggest reason I do trash talk, my garage sale videos some of you have seen, is I'm just trying to tell people like, yo, for real, like you can buy anything at a garage, like, isn't it better than going to work at Wendy's for, like, just buy 7 things at a garage sale on Saturday and make the same amount of money. Like, and people are like, well, gas. I'm like, you spend gas to go to Wendy's too. Like, you know, like, what about shipping? Charge them for shipping. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, I just think it's options. The economy could be amazing. It could be the greatest thing of all time. This is just that the internet is here and now the blockchain, just options.
Yeah, so, VFriends did well.
Yeah.
That means you, this might be too.
No, go ahead.
To it. You got it in ETH.
Yep.
That means you're paying ridiculous gas fees as well as VFriends did.
Yeah, it costs to mint it?
To mint it and just to get it out after.
Well, once.
It on the ETH.
No, not the ETH. The ETH, there's no gas fees like to like convert to the ETH. No.
No, I'm saying to convert out of ETH into.
USD?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
A couple dollars.
A couple dollars on what?
No, it's nothing.
Okay.
It's not even gonna register in your mind.
So when you, all right, so say if an artist does get their—
Thanks for coming.
So their NFTs—
Thanks for coming, of course.
They won't have to move it to another crypto to get it out?
No, like to AJ's point, like there's a couple of dollars there in transferring out, but like it's really, really minimum. The biggest question for you is, you sell something, you definitely want to take 50 cents on the dollar off to pay your tax bill. Because I sold VFriends and Ethereum was 4,800 and within 3 weeks it was 1,700. And that was not a fun time for me. When you have your greatest business accomplishment and somehow you lost $15 million, you're scared. So I recommend everybody taking 50 cents on the dollar. The next move is the more interesting one. Do you sit with it for a year so you can cap gain it? Puts, calls, there's fucking all sorts of shit. There's so much arb, and it's so volatile. Like, ETH is down heavy right now because the market's down. One thing that's been interesting to me is now crypto is really following the stock market. They're hand in hand. Yeah, it's really there right now, which I'm not so sold I like fully like agree with. It'll be interesting to see if that's forever, but like...
You know why it is. This is not decentralized.
Yeah, but I think it's just consumer confidence. ETH's down today because Russia might attack Ukraine this weekend. Mm-hmm.
The macro view on everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's a little scared right now.
Fear.
Inflation.
Mm-hmm. Inflation, I think, is a little less fear for the crypto world because it's the counterpoint in some ways, but World War III fucks with people, which I get. I also prefer that not to happen. Anyway, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Thank you.
Thank you.